Let's start reading Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Lord, please help us to understand just at least in a surface way the truth that is found in this text. Lord, it's foundational for us, as are all things that we see in the beginning of Genesis. So, Father, help us to see it. Help us to learn and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Cain and Abel is a story that's very familiar to most of us. How many of you had heard that Cain had killed Abel? How many of you knew that? All right, well, there is more to the story than that. And so we're going to dive into it. We've got to pay attention because it is a matter of life and death. Now, there's a close connection between Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 3, you have the sin of the individual. And now in Genesis chapter 4, it's the sin that's in the family. Like leprosy, sin contaminates and spreads and reproduces in death. In Genesis 3, the sin was against God. In Genesis chapter 4, the sin was against another man. Now, it's interesting. This is the way it always is. Sometimes we wonder, how could someone who claims to be a Christian behave in such a vile way? And we all know people who claim to be believers, and then they do terrible things to someone else. Well, how does that happen? Well, it always begins with sin. When you do not fear God, anything is possible. When you disregard God's clear commandments, anything is possible, whether you claim to know God or not. That's a story we learn from Cain and Abel. The order is always the same. Then, I want you to see this, that the story of Cain and Abel, it demonstrates two battles that we've talked about before. The first is the battle of the seeds. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. We've talked about this quite a bit. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right, so we understand that Satan is going to be in battle, that the seed of Satan will be in battle against the seed of the woman. Women don't have seed, so this is the prophecy of the virgin birth, that through this lineage would come the Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody know Jesus today? Well, we are born of that seed. And so Satan entered into a battle against that seed. Now I want you to see how that battle is demonstrated in the lives of Cain and Abel. Do you know where we get that information? Look with me in 1 John. Keep Genesis, of course. But look at 1 John chapter 3. So there are two battles demonstrated for us in the lives of Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel. The first is the battle of the seeds. 1 John 3, look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. Now, would you mark that from the beginning? Sometimes we just take this as, you know, we miss these words. We just read right past them. I do until I go and study the specific words and then I find them. So it's fun after I've read past it. I've read this passage 100 times. After I've read past it to see from the beginning. What does he mean from the beginning? From the beginning of his teaching? From the beginning of the New Testament? What's he speaking of? Well, let's look at the verse again. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain. So from the beginning of what? From the beginning of time. From the beginning of man's relationship with man, we learn something. All right? So look at verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. You might want to mark that. Of that wicked one. The wicked one in the Bible is clearly defined as Satan. It's clearly defined as Satan. So the Bible says that Cain was of that wicked one. So was he the seed of the devil? No. No. But he was spiritually of Satan. Do you know it's possible for Christian parents to have kids that grow up to be antichrists? Because it's a personal choice, isn't it? I cannot become born again for my children. They have to make the choice to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for their eternal life. Look at what the Bible says. We're here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Here we see the battle of the seeds. All the way from the beginning. So now let's go back to Genesis. You know what? Let's look at 1 Peter. Let's do this. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. And this is all introduction. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, what does it mean to be born again? Can a man enter again into his mother's womb and be born when he is old? Jesus said, you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Remember the biblical formula. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. You're born once physically, you're going to die physically, and then you're going to die spiritually. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're going to die physically and die spiritually. So born once, die twice. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. When you're born again, that is the new birth. That's when you place your faith and trust in Jesus alone for your eternal life. And you're born again. So if you're born twice, you only die once. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. That's God's math. That's biblical math. Now, let's look at this text again. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible, what is that? Seed. The battle of seeds, right? But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now I want you to understand, the battle of the seeds is demonstrated right here in 1 Peter also. The Bible says that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and he shed blood. You see, Abel brought the fruit of the ground. The fruit of the ground is going to wither and die. You are born again by blood, or you're born again by the works of your hands. If you're born by the works of your hands, you're going to die. If you're born by the blood, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. The Bible makes it very clear. So here from the beginning in Cain and Abel, you have a battle of the seeds, a battle of your own works, or the battle of the position of your own works, or the position of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're born again, you are born again because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and for me. And this becomes abundantly clear in the lives, or in the story of Cain and Abel. So there's the battle of the seeds. Then, not only is the battle of the seeds, but go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And look at verse 24. Now remember what's happened? Adam and Eve have sinned. Eve was deceived. She took of the fruit. Adam knowingly took of the fruit, making himself a sacrifice for his wife because he loved her. Now sin has been condemned. Death has passed upon all men. And now God is driving them out of the garden. Look what happens in verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. To keep the way of the tree of life. Now, what they did was God said, let us get man out of the garden because now they're living in fallen flesh. We don't want them to eat of the tree of life because if they eat of the tree of life, then they're going to have to spend eternity in fallen flesh. So he removed the tree of life from them. What grace. Isn't God wonderful to us? He is so good to us. But then he didn't put the cherubims there. Remember, a cherubim killed 185,000 people. One angel killed 185,000 people in one afternoon. He didn't need cherubims to keep Adam and Eve from getting back to the tree. That's not what they were there for. The cherubims were set there and a flaming sword. And you see, that's what it says in verse 24, to guard the way of the tree of life. What's the way of the tree of life? It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Remember John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Look with me at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. The first battle was of the seeds. The second battle is of the ways. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. Now this is Saul, who became Paul, but Saul was persecuting Christians. And Saul, yet breathing out, this is Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of, look at what it says, this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he was going to find Christians. Christians were identified as people who were of this way. What way? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 9. And there sat in a window, I'm sorry, wrong chapter, Acts chapter 19, verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of, look at what it says, that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now, so here you have that they separated from the way, they spoke evil of the way. What way? Believers, people who practiced the way, the truth, and the life. Look at chapter 9 and verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. So the Bible says that God was going to set cherubims and a flaming sword to guide to guard the way to the tree of life. What was he doing? Who would want to attack the way of the tree of life? Well, Satan would. Satan is a cherub. The Bible in Ezekiel chapter 28 defines Satan as, or Lucifer, as the anointed cherub that covers. So in order to battle a cherub, you had to have other cherubs, the most powerful angels. So God sets cherubs outside of the garden with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. What is the way? It's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see this battle of the ways. Look at Jude, verse 11. Jude. Now, the book of Jude is about apostasy. Apostasy. What's apostasy? An apostate is one who looks at revealed truth and then turns away from it. So it'd be like this. Frank Inyart, come on up here with me. When I think of apostasy, I think of Frank Inyart. Here's the idea. Frank has grown up in a Christian home, godly parents. Frank and Val love the Lord, want to serve the Lord, been raised to know the truth. He's been in our church. How old were you when you came here?
3, I think.
3 years old. So he's been here for, what are you, 25 now?
Been here 11 years.
He's been here 11 years. Okay. So now, he's been in the Lord's house studying the Word of God, being taught the Word of God. He's been under the preaching and teaching of the pastor. He's been in the youth group, Pastor Nathan, Sunday school teacher. Well, his dad was a Sunday school teacher. So, but he's been hearing the truth of the Word of God. So you know the truth, don't you? So now here's what happens. Here is the truth. Here's what an apostate does. An apostate looks at it and then turns his back on it. That's what an apostate is. Thanks, Frank. Now, wouldn't that be... I can't think of anything worse than having my children turn their back on the Lord. I can't... Frank, can you think of anything worse than that? And that's why we really do invest our lives as godly parents in our children to see that they serve the Lord. Amen? Cain knew the truth. His parents had walked with God. What we see in the context is that God himself speaks to Cain audibly. Now you can understand Jude 11 a little bit better. Go to Jude. It's about apostasy. Look at verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally... What they know naturally, do you see that? What they know naturally, will you mark that word naturally? What they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, let me tell you something that's really important for you to know. Our natural judgment is not a reliable guide for spiritual things. You might want to write that down in the context right there. Our natural judgment is not a reliable guide for spiritual things. These are people that were naturally predisposed against God. All right? So now look at what it says. Verse 11. Woe to them. Now let me tell you something. When God pronounces woe on someone, that's not woe, slow down. That's sorrow and trouble are coming. All right? So now look at verse 11 again. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So here is the definition of apostasy. Three types of people are mentioned to define apostasy, to give us examples of what apostasy is. An apostate is one who looks at revealed truth and turns from it. Well, how do they do that? Well, first, they act in the way of Cain. They come and do it their own way. God has told them it's got to be by a sacrifice. Cain said, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to do it the way that I want to. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, let's look at it. Keep your place in Jude, but go to Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 25. Battle of the ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the way of Cain. That's saying, I'm going to approach God my way. So in this definition or this example of apostasy, what you have is a person in Cain who knew the truth. And we're going to see that in a minute. God had revealed the proper way to approach him. And he said, I'm going to do it my way. So our examples from Jude chapter 11 are the way of Cain and then those going after Balaam for reward. That's saying that I'm going to serve God for money. Whatever's in it for me. I'm going to say whatever is the truth for money. And then in the gainsaying of Korah, remember what Korah did. Korah rebelled. He was a prince of Israel, and he rebelled against God's man and God's word. And let me tell you how bad God thinks rebellion is. He opened up the ground and swallowed him, took him straight to hell. That's not just a story. It really happened. So the road of apostasy is this: approaching God your own way, going after money instead of truth, and living in open rebellion against the clear teaching of the Word of God. That's the path to apostasy. We're going to see a way to start that road. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. And look at the way that God addresses it. Genesis chapter 4. And look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. And look at what it says. His countenance fell. His countenance fell. How many of you ever got onto one of your kids and you can tell on their face they do not like it? Right? What does God do? Oh, little sugar plum, I'm sorry you're not happy. Here, let me make it all better. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. Is that what God does? No. Look at what he says. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Can I put that into modern language? Come here, Jake. Come up here. You can help me. Get that look off your face. Y'all ever said that to your kids? Y'all ever said that to them? Oh, if you haven't, maybe you need to. Amen? Because the road to apostasy, if I want my son to serve the Lord, he needs to understand and submit to the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? He needs to know that serving God is more important than money. I'm not going to let him get a job that keeps him away from serving the Lord. That's not going to happen if he's living at my house. It is not going to happen. Amen? And then I'm not going to let him live in open rebellion. And that includes his facial expressions. I'm going to deal with it right away. See, because what we've seen demonstrated in the story of Cain and Abel is a battle of the seeds and a battle of the ways. And you know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants to get your kids in the wrong way. Train up a child in the way he should go. Is that just a coincidence that that's what the Bible says? And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Thanks, Jake. Now, so we've seen that Cain and Abel demonstrate two battles, the battle of the seeds and the battle of the ways. But how did they know to sacrifice? How'd they know? Well, apparently they did know, right? And they also knew that one was the right way and one was the wrong way. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now I want you to see something. He's telling him, you know better. You know better. Well, how did he know better? Because God had already demonstrated the truth to them. When did God demonstrate the truth to them? When God demonstrated to Adam and Eve in the garden the result of sin. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats of skins and clothe them. They had demonstrated for them sacrifice. And I'm going to give you four things here in a few minutes that will describe that to you. Those four things that taught Adam and Eve, and then they taught Cain and Abel. But now, how did they know? You know what? I'm going to skip that. Let's go on to the way of Cain. My message today is on the way of Cain. Our time is almost gone, so I'm going to go through this quickly for you. And I want you to see the way of Cain. Number one, the way of Cain is misunderstood. Number one, the way of Cain is misunderstood. Don't miss this. This hit me in the face. Cain was rejected before he killed Abel. Think about that. Cain was rejected before he killed Abel. The murder had nothing to do with the rejection. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. He was rejected. Look at what it says in verse 9, or verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be what? Accepted. What's the opposite of being accepted? Yeah, he was rejected before he killed Abel. Religion is what a man does to justify himself. Salvation is what God gives a sinner who knows he cannot justify himself. Let me tell you what religion does. Religion gets you on the path. That's the shortest point between two distances. A straight line from the grave to hell. That's what religion does. That's what Cain brought. All right? So the way of Cain is misunderstood. Cain was rejected before he killed Abel. I want you to see something amazing about this. This was really shocking to me. Do you know that Cain didn't deny the existence of God? Cain did not deny the existence of God. Secondly, Cain didn't deny the worship of God. Now I want you to think about something. Think about our definition of Christianity. Think about that. And then think about who Cain was and what he did. Cain believed in God. How many of you believe in God? Cain willingly worshiped God. How many of you worship God? That does not mean that your worship is accepted. See, here's the idea that we have. We see people in our culture, whether they're entertainment figures or political figures or sports figures, and we see them and they'll give God thanks for something. Oh, great, they're a Christian. We have this idea. There are churches all over our town and all over our country, all over our world, where people believe in God and they worship God. And they're going to go straight to hell. See, the way of Cain, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, it's more than just believing in God and worshiping God. God must be approached on God's terms. You are not allowed to set the terms. Well, I just want to find a church that's right for me. You have your way, and I have my way. No, there's the way and Cain's way. You see, the way of Cain is misunderstood. Then, the way of Cain is minimized. The way of Cain is minimized. Didn't Cain just make a mistake? You know, and here's our idea. Well, Abel was a shepherd, so he brought his stuff. Cain was a farmer, so he brought his stuff. Maybe he just made a mistake. No. They had understood that there was a place to worship God. And the Bible tells us that Cain went away from the presence of God. There was a place to worship God. There was a time to worship God. In the process of time, there was appointed time when they came to worship Him. And there was a way to worship Him. And that was with the shedding of blood. And Cain said, I'm going to do it my way. See, the way of Cain is minimized, and it was sinful. It was wicked. God had given clear instruction in the garden. He had given them lessons on it. Let me give you the four lessons. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Four lessons that we get from verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So number one, in order for a guilty sinner to approach a holy God, he needs a suitable covering. That's what we learn from Genesis chapter 3. If you're going to come to God, they had covered themselves in fig leaves. That wasn't going to do it. In order to approach God, you need a suitable covering. When we cover ourselves with anything but the blood of Jesus Christ, we're doing exactly what Cain did. We've gone in the way of Cain. So you've got to have a suitable covering. Number two, the aprons of fig leaves which their own hands had made were not acceptable to them. To him. Look at what it says. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, what we do is we look past that. What is repetition in the Bible? God's volume control. They sowed, and with their hands they made. This is what they did themselves. That's exactly what Cain did. Cain took the fruit of his own labor and brought it to God. And God said no. So we learned that there has to be a suitable covering. And then secondly, that aprons of fig leaves which their own hands had made were not acceptable. Look at verse 21 again, chapter 3, verse 21. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did Adam and Eve make coats of skins and clothe them. Is that what your Bible says? What's the Bible say? See, the covering that you need to come before God, you can't make it yourself. It has to be provided by the hand of the Almighty God. So number one, in order for the guilty sinner to approach a holy God, he needed a suitable covering. Number two, the aprons of fig leaves which their own hands had made were not acceptable to him. Number three, God must provide the covering himself. God must provide the covering for himself. Remember, this is all sacrifice that's taking place before God established it all in Leviticus, before Moses, right? But remember what happened with Abraham. Abraham goes up on the mountain to do what? To make a sacrifice. How did he know how to do it? God had already given them instruction on it. And what did he say? He said, take your son Isaac, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. And what did he say? God will provide himself a lamb. God has to provide the sacrifice. Amen? All right, now, God will do it. God provides the covering. And then, number four, the necessary covenant covering could only be obtained through death. Something had to die. This covering was only by the shedding of blood. God dealt with Adam and Eve in mercy, but in doing so, he had to first meet the claims of his broken law. Blood had to be shed. This is the first type of the cross. And of course, this is the way it is with Christ and the believer. You've got to have a substitute. And that's what God was teaching them. God was teaching Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel that you have to have a substitute. Let me read something to you. Someone wrote this about the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Cain, at his fruit stand, is praying over a pile of vegetables, fruits, flowers, herbs, and shrubs, somewhat as follows. Now, Lord, I am worshiping according to the dictates of my conscience, and it is true that Mommy and Daddy told me that their sins were paid for by the blood of a lamb. But, Lord, look at these beautiful grapes. I grew them myself, pruned the vine, kept the foxes out, sprayed the bugs, etc. The juice in them is blood red, and it looks like real blood. I know that you are a God of love and have no pleasure in vengeance or bloodletting. Lord, wouldest thou in thine infinite compassion turn these here grapes into blood and enable me to live a better life? A silence follows this pious supplication. And for about 5 minutes, it's as quiet as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving afternoon. God had no respect to that sacrifice. Listen to Abel's sacrifice, the way he describes it. Abel, kneeling by his altar, which displays a sheep with its throat cut, is praying. Now, Lord, I hope you'll take this in my place. I should love you enough to die for you, considering how good you've been to me. But I'm yellow. I'm afraid to die. I should honor you like no one on earth, including myself, since you are Lord of heaven and earth. But I don't. I put myself first most of the time. So here, Lord, is one of your creatures. You sustained it and nourished it. And I have only tended what is already yours. Mommy and Daddy said you killed one of these back in the garden for them. I hope you'll accept this one for me. Take its blood instead of mine. I deserve to die for my sins. Wilt thou please accept this bloody substitute? Do you see the difference? And immediately, can I ask you a question? How did they know whether their sacrifice was accepted or rejected? How did they know? Well, six other times in the Bible, the way that God accepted a sacrifice was a fire from heaven. And I believe that's exactly the way that he acknowledged or refused these sacrifices. Seven times, the number of God's perfection. Amen? That's demonstrated for us here all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. God will accept a sacrifice that's done right. He will reject a sacrifice that is not brought on His terms. We need a substitute. So number one, we said the way of Cain is misunderstood. Number two, the way of Cain is minimized. Didn't he just make a mistake? Number three, we need to understand that the way of Cain is malignant. It's malignant. He knew what he was doing and he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Now here's what we need to understand. And my time's gone. So I just want to finish this. You need to understand that Cain, what was so evil about the way of Cain, is its blasphemy. It's saying that Jesus Christ's sacrifice is not enough. It's saying that I can do something that is equal to the precious blood of Jesus. Do you know what happens when people believe that way? Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We talked about that road to apostasy earlier. One that's looked at revealed truth and turned from it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So we talked, we had Frank come up here, and Frank knows the truth of the Word of God. Imagine if he turns away from it, never having actually received it himself. He turns away from it. The end is worse than the beginning. Look at what it says. For it had been better for them not to have known the what? What does it say? The way of righteousness. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. How many of you remember the first time that you saw a dog eat its vomit? You look, you saw, it's bad enough watching them hurl. You know what I mean? It's bad enough. And you're going, oh. And then they eat it. And, oh. See, we need to understand, that's what the sin of Cain looked like to God. When you bring your own righteousness to God and you say, I believe that my goodness, my church membership, my intellectual agreement with some facts, you believe that your own good works, you can raise them. See, God, I'm good. You're not going to condemn me to hell. I'm good. Do you know what you're holding up? You're holding up vomit to God and asking Him to eat it. That's exactly what this text says. It's obnoxious. The Bible says that our righteousnesses, all of them, are like filthy rags. Because there's the way of Cain and there's the way of life. The way of Cain is malignant. Then the way of Cain is meaningful. It's meaningful. In bringing such an offering, Cain deliberately turned his back on God's revealed will and dared to set up his own will in defiance. Cain went his own way and selected an offering which commended itself to his own tastes. He did it the way that he wanted to. Now, here's the last thing. I want you to see the way of Cain, the contrast to the way of Cain. I want you to see it contrasted. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? What was good about Abel's sacrifice? Do you know the New Testament tells us? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now look at what the Bible says in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So here's the idea. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? Because it was made by faith. It was made by faith. That's always the battle. What is the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice? It's the since the beginning of time, it's the same thing. You're either saved by faith or you're saved by works. That's it. By faith, Abel believed God and sacrificed the way that God had told him to do, as he had been taught. So where did the faith come from? Where did this faith, where does that come from? Well, look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God had spoken to Adam and Eve. God had even spoken to Cain and Abel after their sacrifices. But Cain did not receive and believe the word of God, but Abel believed it by faith. The way of Cain is contrasted. What was acceptable about Abel's sacrifice? Number one, it was made in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then he offered the right thing. There had to be shed blood. Then it was accepted immediately. Verse 7, it was immediate. He knew it was accepted on the spot. And that's why I can say with the Apostle Paul, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that my sacrifice, where I went to him and said, Lord Jesus, I can't save myself. Please save me. I knew immediately that day that my sin was forgiven. And that was accepted. Why? Because I didn't make the offering. Jesus Christ made the offering. And it was accepted. Then he had absolute assurance on the spot. The contrast is as old as men, faith and works. Now I want you to notice something. That the difference wasn't their character. It was their sacrifice. Abel wasn't any better than Cain. They were both living outside the garden. They were both born to sinful parents. They both had sin that needed to be forgiven. The difference was not the man. The difference was the sacrifice. See, I'm not any better than any of you. You're not any better than me. All of us deserve hell. Every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us deserve hell. The difference was the sacrifice. Jesus Christ shed blood. It saved us. Dear Lord, thank you.